Well, greetings, brothers and sisters. I thought I was nervous, but I'm not nervous. I'm just overwhelmed with emotion. I feel like I want to cry, and I might do that a few times. But this morning, I wanted to share with you what the Lord has been teaching me this year through the lenses of the prodigal son parable from Jesus that we read in Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. This is where I get emotional. 2024 has been a roller coaster for my world. Very challenging and very amazing year for me and my family. We started the year with the arrival of our second child and second son, Luca, December 19th of 2023. And he became really the pace setter for 2024 for us. But it was also that joyous occasion, an unexpected pregnancy. We had gone through years of infertility, and now we have child number two, just overwhelming us, right? And that didn't come alone. It came with grief. We started that year with also my stepfather lost his parents. One at a time. Father and mother within a month of each other. Also, I lost two amazing aunts that I love desperately. And when people are gone, you feel like I should have done more, should have said more, should have been there more. But the Lord just had his way of saying, not only am I providing children for you, but I'm providing for the losses in your life too. And after I completed my 3 months at the beginning of the year of family leave because of the birth of Luca, I went on medical leave on April 1st. I had spinal fusion surgery. And if you come close, come real close, you'll see the scar. And I was in the hospital just for a day, but for 6 weeks, I had a neck collar on, and I couldn't hold my sons because I had a 10-pound weight restriction, and I couldn't drive. And when you're a 44-year-old adult, and you can't drive, and you're used to being not only a carpool for your family, but for yourself in so many ways, it's really, really tough. And by the way, I just wanted to thank you for all of your prayers for us transitioning with our new son and for my surgery and all the different health issues that I've had. Thank you so much. I'm doing I can't say excellent, but I'm doing great. How's that? We'll just level it down a bit. It's great. I feel good. Still got some things to tend to, but the Lord has really been healing me. And I feel much better. And on top of that, my wife and I have been extremely busy with work and with projects. And it has been hard to fathom all that has been done in our little world. Kalila is a very successful executive at her workplace, and her influence and time are in high demand. And that's hard, not only when you're a mother to a three-year-old, but when you have a new baby. The pressure, the stress, and every mom knows that when your child comes into the world, everything else goes quiet, and the Lord turns up your sensitivity to what's in your home. And you are laser focused, and you can hear all the sounds, all the cries, and they are just a lot. And you match that with a career and the cries from her employees needing her assistance, and it's a lot. She's gone through quite a bit. Right now she's sick. She's at home right now because the holiday season's, it's tidal wave of everything, and so we're still recovering. And in addition to my day job, I work from home as a financial analyst for a large healthcare company. My wedding and portrait photography business had its biggest year. I photographed 28 weddings this year, And it's just, I can't even fathom. When I started, I did 5 weddings a year. I was offering it for free. And here the Lord has just been giving me this thing. And I realized I love weddings. If I could have Groundhog Day and relive it one day over and over again, it would be a wedding. That's my thing. I love weddings. And the highlight of this was this summer in July, my sister, my big sister, got married. And she asked me to officiate. And then she didn't have wedding coverage for the reception show. Guess who was there, ready to party with his camera? Yours truly. It was a blast. One of the greatest times of my life. It was awesome. And with all these ingredients to an intense year, I have been sensing all year that I feel lost. I had a lot of time to think alone this year during the late nights feeding Luca, the weeks of being bedridden while recovering from surgery, and the many solo trips to weddings this year. I've been very impatient in my circumstances, or with my circumstances, I should say, and I've been unable to visualize the hope that God offers to me in Jesus. In fact, a friend asked me to preach a couple weeks back. I don't know if you're familiar with the Advent calendar for the churches and the 4 weeks of, you know, Christmas season, Advent season. You know, there's peace, there's preparation, and one of them is joy. That's the 3rd week. And I was asked to preach joy. And it occurred to me that I have felt very little joy this year. I had pockets and moments, but I was not feeling like a joyful person. And the Lord has been doing a work in me these last few weeks that have helped me to realize that even though I feel lost, He knows exactly where I am because I am always found in Him. So our big idea today is going to be that God's children can be simultaneously lost and found. Simultaneously lost and found. And if you have your text with in front of you, Luke 15, 11 to 16, Jesus is in a sequence of parables after he is encountering this resistance from the Pharisees. And it's not all the Pharisees, it's a certain group of Pharisees that are just on him like a hawk. But guess what? Jesus is an eagle. Eagles eat hawks. And here, Jesus has this unbelievable, but yet true, parable. Verse 11, he said, "There was a man who had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything." And the first kind of observation that I wanted to make as we look at this text, and I want to reflect on my own story, is that we can feel lost when we are out of pace with our Father. In this parable, the younger son decided that he wanted his inheritance prematurely. What normally has to happen when you get an inheritance? Normally, somebody's passed on, right? So this is a great insult to a father. I want everything that you've been building all these years that's due to me, and I don't want you. Talk about being out of pace, out of rhythm, right? But to no surprise, the son takes his share, leaves, and then blows his inheritance, right? It's a story as old as time. But when the famine comes, the younger son is unprepared and he is scrambling to find food. And even as a hired hand, he couldn't get the quality meals that he was used to, and even the servants of his father were used to. And he was feeding pigs, going, "Can I just get some of that?" And he could get none of that. It took my running myself into the ground this year to realize that I was lost because I was out of pace and not in rhythm with the Father. And even as I told you earlier, that my year included, I'm even exhausted just thinking about the pace and the speed with which I've been living this year, I've had many breaking points. And I felt like I was going too fast and trying to do things on my own, even though it was God's given strength and abilities. You know what it's like when you try to do it on your own? You have the strength and abilities, but you don't have the Spirit leading you. And I think of Jason Tatum from the NBA Finals a couple years ago, just sometimes trying to do too much of his own. His ego kind of gets into the way, and he takes contested shot after contested shot. And it wasn't until he lost the NBA Finals, it broke him. New coach comes into the fold and helps him to see you've got everything you need around you. There's a great team. And guess what happened last year, right? What happened? We won it. I feel like that's kind of been happening in my life, a little bit of that, whoa. The coach is counseling me now. Now, I had one of these breaking points a few weeks ago when I was preparing to conduct an interview with a friend for an upcoming project in my life. Good friend, known for a long time. But it was late at night, and I was feeling unprepared for the interview, and I was left scrambling. And I was looking for that contested jump shot. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And the last thing on my mind was to pray. So I was deciding, should I reschedule this interview? Which, hey, it can wait. There's no gun to my head. There's no rush. Or should I press on and stay up in the wee hours of the morning and make sure I'm prepared to make it happen? Get a little sleep, a little this, a little that, and then you wake up feeling just like drudge. That is when the Lord stopped me and led me to lie down. When I lay down and closed my eyes, I was just thinking, okay, I'm going to reschedule this. I'm not ready. And I thought I was going to fall asleep because I was so exhausted. But when I closed my eyes, the Lord started to show me that I was going too fast in my life. He gave me the image of a pace car in my mind that I was trying to get around and pass, right? And any of you NASCAR fans, any Indy race car fans, you know how important that pace car is, right? It's to get everyone on the same page, to realign the race so we could move forward. And anytime you've ever seen somebody blow by the pace car, never ends well. Never ends well. In fact, that person is disqualified. and it's just disastrous, and everyone's disappointed. Now, he wanted me to see that I have been going too fast, and I had a growing impatience with his timing. Things weren't developing the way that I wanted them to develop in my life. I've been part of a church that closed, which is its own weird thing. My friends seem to be having a lot of success around me. And so you get that, you know, FOMO, fear, you know, fear of missing out, or fear of like, wow, what's going on here? And he also began to show me why I felt so rushed in my life. And the first reason is that I am arrogant. I'm arrogant. And I think I'm way smarter than I am and more gifted than I am. And it's so freeing to just be able to say that. But the second reason that I felt rushed is that I'm afraid that people are mad at me if I don't hurry. And particularly, I thought that the Father, our Father in heaven, would be mad at me if I didn't go faster and push harder in my life. As we keep reading in our text, you see Luke 15, verses 17 to 23. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Like I told you, I love a good celebration. I love weddings. And this felt like, right, a reunion feast, a wedding feast. That's what you prepare fatted calves for, is for the best of feasts, especially in this culture. And it brings me to reflection number two. There are reminders of our Father everywhere that draw us back to him. There are reminders everywhere. The younger son came to his senses and realized that even his father's servants eat well. Here I am starving. I'm working for a guy that's not even feeding me properly. I can't even get the food these pigs are getting. Wow. So he resolves to humble himself because he saw a reminder of his father that he didn't have. And he said, "I want my father. My father's a good father. I want to go back to him. And you know what? I'm going back with my arms open. What an idiot I've been. What a buffoon I've been. I've been so foolish. And I haven't seen. I've been blinded by my arrogance." That's me reading into it. How's that sound, huh? And his father sees him returning from a distance and runs to embrace him. And he thought, "My dad's going to be mad at me." Turns out, his father couldn't be happier and says, "I'm not even waiting till he gets back all the way. I'm running to him." Now, in that culture, whoa, that doesn't happen, right? This is like King David dancing when the tabernacle came back and starts taking off his clothes. People are like, "What is happening right now?" Right? This is what this is like. This dignified father is now, he's the one running. Why the rush? He's in a rush to celebrate. He's in a rush to bring back his son because he loves him so much and he can't wait to restore him and to celebrate with the whole of, not just the family, but everyone around the family, servants included. And before the son can finish, right, he says, "Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate." Put a pin in that. Put a pin in that. I am slow sometimes. I'm slow in different ways. Sometimes I act fast, talk fast, think fast, go fast. But I'm a blockhead up here. And it takes a while for God to hit me upside with a 2x4 to slow me down. Sometimes it's a surgeon that slows me down, right? And what's incredible is as my arrogance blinded me to the beautiful reminders of God's grace and love everywhere. When I was lying down in that moment and the Lord was showing me who I am, I was reminded of my son, Luca, and the milestone that he just reached in turning one. It's awesome. It's awesome. You know, he's been crawling, you know, and he's eating solid food. There's a lot going on in his life, in his little heart. And you just, wow, this little Luca, he's so exciting. I love to see his smile. I love to see his face. And when I get to see this kid, I am so happy. I'm so happy. And that's a little taste, right? Every day is a reunion with this kid. Every day I get to feed him. Every day I get to cut it up and see what he's going to do. And I love it. And I would slaughter everything for this kid. I'm so happy to see him. And my little boy, he started going up our one flight of stairs all by himself, unprompted, and coming right back down without hesitation. This is a picture that the Lord brought to my mind to say he was ready. He went up and he was doing things when all the preparation led to those moments when he was ready to take the next steps and he was off to the races. And the Lord has given him all the skills and experiences that he needed, and he was ready. And in that moment, I felt like the Spirit of God was telling me, as I'm preparing, do I go forward with this interview or reschedule this interview? The Spirit just said, you are ready. You are ready. You are ready. And in that moment, that meant a lot of things to me. That meant many things all at once. It meant I was ready to conduct the interview with my friend, and I was indeed prepared. All I needed was a little bit of time to organize my thoughts in writing, but I knew exactly how I wanted the interview to go. I could see it in my mind. I could see the conversation. I could see it flowing, and I knew that's exactly what God wanted me to do. And it's powerful. When you know exactly what God wants you to do and you do it, you got all the energy in the world. You literally have all the energy in the world propelling you forward, giving you strength. And I didn't have to stay up all night. I just had to stay up a little bit. And he took care of the rest, all the margins he gave me. It was beautiful. And it reminded me of, I don't know if you remember the Pilgrim's Progress, that time that Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress is stuck in the castle of giant despair. Right, and he's with his friend, and he's locked inside of the tower. And he says, I think I've got a key in my pocket. The promises of God that will unlock every gate in the castle. And I love that image. I love that image that God has given me the very preparation that I need for everything in my next calling in life. One reminder is I've started to carry this little Swiss Army knife. Tiny little thing. It's got about seven tools on it. And as every scout in this room knows, this can save your life. This can save your life. And it's got scissors, toothpick, all that sort of stuff. And it's awesome. And every time now, I'm like, especially box cutting. Or if I'm encountering all these things, you got kids, new stuff coming in, I can open presents, I can cut boxes and break them down, I can do all sorts of stuff. I don't have to keep running and looking for tools. I've got the tool that I need for most of the jobs that I need. And I also think this meant that I was ready to confess my sin of arrogance and my fear that God is mad at me, and I know I've been mad at him. And this caused me to push away symbols of God in my life, like my father, my own father. I've been pushing away because he's a reminder of God's goodness to me. And as soon as the words were in my mind, I felt this overwhelming party happening around me. My heart was free. And I was just in tears celebrating, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And he loves to shower us with his blessings, especially when we are at our worst and exhausted all of our resources. I love the way that Paul Zoll says it. He says, God's office is at the end of our rope. God's office is at the end of our rope. beautiful. And I also think this meant that I was ready to slow down, since the Father had prepared me for the next season of my calling in his kingdom. Let's continue. Verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you. I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," not my brother, but this son of yours, "came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." Notice the repetition there. "And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" And the third reflection for me has been, it is easy to envy those who are found when we feel lost. This brother thought he knew who his father was. He thought he knew who his brother was. He thought he knew who he was. And when he came back from laboring in the fields, he hears the ruckus. Now, he's a son, right? What can a son do? The son can just go right to his father and say, "Hey, what's going on?" But instead, the seeds of distance were being sown. And so what did he do? He talked to a servant. "What's going on? What's the big hubbub about?" He shares, right? And he is furious about how lavish the party is and refuses to go in. And then what's the father do? The father hears about this and goes out to this son. He runs out to that son too. And this son does not want to come in because he's jealous. He's jealous. "How come I've never been celebrated like my brother?" And I just want to pause and say, brothers and sisters, not all who wander are lost. Okay? And also, conversely, not all who are present are found or feel found. You could be in God's house and still feel lost. You could be in his presence and still not know who you are. And guess what? He still loves you and still wants you to come in and celebrate. And notice what he says. "You killed the fattened calf for him." For him. Implication, not for me. But guess what? Who ate that fattened calf in that celebration? Everyone. Everyone. The fattened calf was for him too, to come and celebrate. It was the time, it was the right time for that celebration. That was the cause. And this repetition in the parable is critical. The fact that this is repeated and Jesus is telling us something. It is a reminder that the Father's mercy and grace to both sons came at a great cost. And the right time brought that cost to bear. Because when you slaughter something, it's a process. Anybody slaughtered an animal before? Or seen one slaughtered? It's a process. This is preparation and time and effort and smells. Oh, dear Lord, the visions and smells. I used to work next to a slaughterhouse and I could smell the smells. It is not pleasant. And it takes time. So that meant that that brother was out in the fields for quite a while, right? For that fattened calf, right? You got to cut them up, split them up, do the thing, right? Cooking, the smells. It's a sensory experience. It's a full, celebrations are full sensory experiences. It's what I love about weddings. Everyone's dressed up, right? Great colors, beautiful colors, right? Smells, great smells. Everyone smells great. They look great, right? And everyone's just happy for the couple. And you've been at those weddings where you've seen somebody who's not quite happy about what's happening. And there's nothing you can do when they're not ready to celebrate except say, you're invited, and hope that the sensory experience opens their eyes to what they're encountering here. And I believe that Jesus is the fattened calf. He's the third son in this story. I grew up watching reruns of My Three Sons, right? My Three Sons. And I think of this passage the same way. Not for nothing that I have now two sons. But guess what? I'm also a third son in the story. But Jesus is the one at the right time who's slaughtered so that we can all partake of this celebration. That's the wedding supper of the Lamb, is it not? And guess what? The wedding supper of the Lamb. As the Lamb of God, what did he do? That's the timer saying, I better stop, right? As the Lamb of God, what was the Lamb? He was the sacrifice who makes the feast and celebration possible. So, you might be here, and you might feel lost. And I've felt lost. But I want to tell you that because I'm slowing down, you know what I feel like? I feel like the Roomba that's in the hallway over there. You know what that Roomba is, right? It's a little vacuum cleaner. Just goes clean, 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 bump. Oh, I'll just redirect. Bump, bump. Clean, 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 clean. Oh, up, oh, stairs. I'm going to turn around. Bump, 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 bump. And this is me. When we slow down, it looks like that Roomba's lost. But guess what? It is inside of the place it's supposed to be, doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It's just taking its time, quickly corrects and turns around, and I feel like that's the pace that God has had me in, slowing down. You know what he's reminded me of? You know what he's put on my wrist? This is my grandfather's watch. He got it in 1981, I believe. Now, 81, 82. He worked for 45 years at a particular company, and so I haven't worn a watch for 20 years. And I think it's symbolic because I felt like I didn't have time. And now I'm realizing I've got time. I've got time. So, question for you is, are you in pace and rhythm with the Father? It's that simple. And this is a great time to reflect on that. And maybe if you don't feel in rhythm, are you jealous of those who are in rhythm with Him? That's a telltale sign that maybe you're out of rhythm. Maybe you're squandering something. Maybe you're jealous. And guess what? There's reminders everywhere that bring us back home and help us to realize that we're both lost and found in Jesus. So let's pray.